Welcome to the Onward Christian Soldiers Bible class. Please stand with me out of respect for the Word of God. We're going to read two short passages of Scripture. Our key foundational Bible passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 in this series, this long but wonderful series, How to Overcome Temptation, part 125, and the temptation and sin that we're dealing with is to be envious. So many people, especially in this day and time, are in this day and time of social media, are having their hearts eaten out with envy and jealousy. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and this should have been a memory verse for you, a hide it in your heart verse in your young Christian years, the kind of verses that the verse that you would write on an index card to hide it in your heart, to memorize it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 73, 1 through 3. The Bible reads, Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I cannot tell you in my early Christian years how much this passage meant to me. And I hope it means a lot to you today. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and thank you for the previous services. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for one of our largest crowds ever from around the world. It is amazing what you have done with this technology, allowing this poor preacher to preach live around the world. One man commented from Russia, says he listens to us regularly and watches and so forth, however he receives it. And we thank you all the way from Moscow. And ever since we've started, we've had people in Moscow and in Russia participating in the services with us live. And so, Lord, we thank you for your might. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And I thank you for everybody who has prayed with me without ceasing throughout this week, who has read your holy word with me, who has meditated upon it, those who are sending out the reminders to pray without ceasing and to read your holy word and to obey your holy word. And I thank you, Lord, for everybody who has helped in putting together these services on a daily basis. And I thank you, Lord, for especially my baby son, Daniel Ezekiel White, and I'm sharing this and saying this, number one, because he deserves to be recognized for his faithfulness. And I pray that, Lord, he will do everything cheerfully and joyfully. He has worked very hard this week. I pray, Lord, that he will wrap up things early today, and get some downtime and relaxation time, do something fun, have a great meal, have a great dessert, and play this day right. And I pray for others who have worked hard as well, but no one has worked other than myself harder than this young man in this ministry this week. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help him to always be Semper Fidelis, always faithful and always loyal, and help everybody in this ministry follow that example. And so, Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done, for what you're doing. We pray that by your grace, your mercy and love, forgive us and cleanse us of all sin and all unrighteousness in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our attitudes, our moods, our every part of us. Make us whiter than snow on the inside. Crush and crucify everybody's flesh. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we will never envy anybody again. And Lord, but be very thankful that you have blessed all of us in special ways. You're just that good. And we thank you. And deliver people from envying others, but to be happy, as you have blessed me to say to many people down through the years. One of the marks of being a mature Christian is that you are genuinely happy when others do well and when others are blessed by you, even if it is above in your mind what you have received. When you can genuinely be happy, and we thank you for those few people who are genuinely happy for us when you bless us, and you don't mind sharing your blessings with them, because you know even though they may not have it, they are happy for you and they're pulling for you. What a blessing that is. And they're not envious. They're happy, genuinely happy. Help every Christian to be that way. And Lord God in heaven, we know that the devil is busy and he's fighting against us tooth and nail, and he is not letting up. He does not know what it means to let up. And so, Lord, no matter how wonderful the services and the singing and the preaching has been today, and the one of the greatest crowds, if not the greatest crowd ever today, from around the world on all platforms and all cameras, with 5 cameras going out of here, 13 different platforms. Lord, help us to be sober-minded. Help us to be vigilant. Help us to be watchful. Help us not to drop our guard. We pray not only for us here, but for all Christians everywhere who are in the afterglow of a great service as I speak. Right now, eating a great meal, fellowshipping with other Christians at the restaurant, at somebody's house, watching a football game, to not drop their guard. But to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. And I'm amazed at the number of people we have with us right now. Some who interrupted their football watching to hear this crazy preacher preach the Word of God plain and simple. And Lord, we pray that in the end and through it all and at the end of the day, lost souls would be saved, from Russia to the Philippines, from Kenya to China. Lord, have the power of your grace, the power of your mercy, the power of your Holy Spirit, the power of your word to fall down mightily upon sinful and wicked Christians and sinful and wicked sinners, people who are not born again. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls. Lord, it's out of my hand. It's nothing I can do but allow you to use me in this short service today. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for your blessed hope that the Jesus Christ who came the first time to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried and to rise again on the third day early one Sunday morning, is coming again. And he could come back in the rapture today. And we pray with your servant, John, please do come quickly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. save millions before you come through the gospel that saved us. Amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. How to overcome temptation. And we're dealing with one of the cardinal sins, envy. Envy. Carol Ruvalo said, envy is acquisitive, resentful, and selfish. It is always bad to be envious. It wants what others have simply because they have it. See, that's the evil of envy. You weren't even thinking about it until somebody else got it. You weren't even thinking about it until your girlfriend got it. You weren't even thinking about Brother Derek in the church with his red tie on and his blue suit until your friend got them. You weren't thinking about getting a Beamer until you saw somebody else with one. You were content with your Dave Ramsey car, but now you're envious. She goes on to say they have it. When they have it, envy bears grudges against those who have what it doesn't, and accuses God of being unfair. How dare we? Now, I would imagine black folk may have said something like that in their hearts. End of quote, by the way. But white folks, they will let it out from their lips. God, you're being unfair. I'm mad at you. I don't hear black people do that. That might be in their hearts. I don't know. It's never been in my heart. I have no questions for God. I have never accused God of anything. It's just not in my mind. Black folk don't do that, generally speaking. We're too afraid to do that. I marvel at what C.S. Lewis got away with. C.S. Lewis, he was angry at God, mad at God, and even questioned God when his beautiful wife died. Accuse God. I don't have that kind of relationship with God. But anyway, there are people who will accuse God and say, you're not fair. Now, God can handle it. Evidently, he can handle stupid comments like that. He still loves you. But I don't know of too many black folk who question God like that or accuse God. I just don't. Be that as it may, history tells of a statue that was erected to to celebrate the victory of the Grecian Games. It so aroused the envious hatred of the rivals that one of them sneaked out at night to topple the statue. He found it so heavy he had to put quite an effort into rocking it back and forth. When he finally got it to topple, it fell the wrong way and crushed him to death. This is the way of not only envy, but bitterness, resentment. Envy, bitterness, hatred, and resentment will always topple the wrong way on top of you and crush you and destroy you. And so will anger. These are the bad boys that will always, you may think you are attacking others, but it will always fall back on you and crush you, bury you, and destroy you. And some people have it bad. Their lives are already destroyed. They are depressed, defeated, in despair, and disgusted because they're envious of other people. Or they're bitter at other people, or they're resentful at other people, or they're angry at other people, and they're mad because they don't have what other people have. And it is destroying them like termites, eating at their very soul, spirit, and mind. And they will never be happy. And there are people like that in the world today. That's why you have some people so depressed, so-called Christians, that they contemplate suicide and commit suicide because they have made up their minds they'll never win like Sister So-and-so or like Brother So-and-so. And here's the verse for you. We just read it a few minutes ago that let you know that there's no such thing as, hear me well, I don't care if you like it or not, but you can mark this down. Tell everybody I said it. There is no such thing as a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, a born-again one, committing suicide and going to heaven. You say, I'm so mad at you right now, I'm going to leave. Just go ahead on and leave. Leave now. That's just not biblical. Because the Bible tells us that God gives us not the spirit of fear, but a sound mind. All this talk about mental illness among Christians, let me tell you what it is. Demon illness. You're demon possessed because you've been watching pornography for the past 3 or 4 years. Your whole mind has been destroyed down to a thread because you're watching ungodliness you ought not to watch, creating desires you never really had before and that you cannot fulfill because you can't do what they're doing. And much of that is like wrestling, it's fake. You have destroyed your soul and your mind and your eye gate because you're doing stuff you ought not to be doing as a Christian. And the devil has entered in. That's why some of you all are acting crazy. That's why you are talking about, oh, I have mental illness, I need to go get some pills. No, you have demon illness. I know you don't like it. Yeah, because you're not going to, you don't hear this from any other preachers. I know that. I know you hate me. I'm just a mailman, man. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a mailman. You're demon possessed. If you're thinking about killing yourself and you're actually going to carry it out. You're going to hell. I'm not going to agree with all the wonderful evangelical pastors saying you're going to heaven. I don't know that, and they don't know that. And so I'm going to stick with the Bible. Judas went to hell, and that's where you're going. Because you have allowed sin and pornography and adultery and fornication and disgusting thoughts and pedophilia and homosexuality and everything else to enter into your life. And now you want to blame God. You want to blame other people. You want to be envious of other folks. Because their lives are going well. Why are their lives going well? Why are they cheerful and happy? Why have they been blessed? Because they chose to obey God and not listen to the devil and his temptations to go somewhere online that you have no business going. And then on top of that, joining AshleyMadison.com. All kind. I don't know. I don't even know some of the names of them. All kinds of hookup sites, man. Online today that people are hooking up with people they have no business doing. And that's another way the devil can enter inside of you. Having sex with people you're not married to. You're opening up the door for the devil to enter inside your life and never leave. Some of you all have a legion of demons because you done had sex with a whole bunch of different people. And you there was a time you never cursed, but now you cuss like the devil. You know where you got it from? The people you've been having sex with. Those demons have been deposited into your life. Now you find yourself envious of the Christians who are doing it right. And so by way of introduction, my beloved, here is what the Bible Knowledge Commentary of Dallas Theological Seminary has to say about this passage. Asaph began this psalm by affirming that though God is good to those in Israel who trust Him and you need to come over here some more. That trust Him and are pure in heart, He Himself nearly slipped in His confidence and in His faith in the Lord. How did that happen? And so many have fallen into this trap today. How did it almost happen to the psalmist? Well, the psalmist emphasized his own situation by beginning four verses with the Hebrew expression translated, "But as for me." His offense was that he was envious of the prosperity of the wicked. Have you ever been there? Here you are saved and you're striving to serve the Lord. You are keeping yourself pure. You are a virgin. You have not had sex with anybody outside of marriage. You're saving yourself for marriage. And you see on Mail Online and you see on CNN women who don't have sex with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And not only that, got a sex tape out. That's what made her famous. Now she's married to a billionaire and has had four beautiful children. And here you are, serving the Lord in your little church, keeping yourself pure, waiting for your Prince Charming, and the devil is tempting you, and things are not going well. The field that you wanted to get into to work in, you can't get into. Seems like everything is just going swimmingly for her, and nothing is going right for you. This is what David is talking about. Why should the people who oppose God, not even saved or halfway saved, not born again, not serious about serving the Lord, those who actually oppose God be better off than those who trust in God? They have everything. They can go anywhere. They can do whatever they want to do. And they are actively sinning against God. And here I am trying to obey God. This problem was so overwhelming, the psalmist almost lost faith in God's goodness and God's grace. This verse shows us the trap that many Christians fall into. They are so focused on what others are doing and the prosperity that others have. And I went off on this last week, so don't get me started. You people who are so caught up with what other people are doing, you don't do anything yourself. That is so sick. You see, some of y'all watch too much television. You watch too much on the internet of what other people are doing. And you don't do anything yourself. You know what that leads to? Frustration, bitterness, resentment, and envy of others. And you can get stuck in that. where you are not doing things yourself, you're not accomplishing things yourself, and any little setback will knock you off track permanently if God does not help you. And that's where some of you are. You're so caught up in what Kim is doing. You're so caught up in what Princess Megan is doing. You're so caught up in what Serena is doing. You're so caught up in what Steph is doing that you don't do anything. And every last one of them would rather for you to do something with your life, instead of just sitting down watching them and criticizing them. Have you ever noticed? At every football game today, every football game yesterday, 22 people on the field, almost 100,000 are in the stands, and 100 million are watching via television. And the 22 who are on the field don't need an ounce of exercise, and everybody in the stands and everybody sitting on their couch watching ought to get up and go exercise for 10 hours straight. But we sit, watch this now, we go to the stadium, we go to the television, what do? We sit and we watch other people exercise and move their muscles and do something while we sit and we go through an emotional roller coaster, getting angry with people who are doing something and we're doing nothing. That is sad, people. See, by the way, listen to me very carefully. You don't deserve to watch a football game if you have not accomplished what God made you to accomplish this past week. You may not be a football player, but you might be a singer. Write a song. You might be a writer. Write a book or write a chapter of a book. Set your goals and do what you're supposed to do. You might be a student in college. Cut the TV off and get your lesson today. Otherwise, you will fail. And you will not accomplish your goal. And you will never become that doctor. You will never become that lawyer. You will never become that Indian chief or whatever you're trying to do or whatever God called you to do. You don't deserve to watch a football game. That's how I have lived my life. I have to accomplish, listen to me, I have to accomplish my goals before I can sit down and watch the Dallas Cowboys and enjoy it. And in these days, I can't even enjoy it. It's disgusting. Because Dak is not the same as our last quarterback. I forget his name, Romo. I had no confidence in Romo ever. I have a little bit more confidence in Dak, but he's let me down. He's a different kind of, excuse me. No, you don't deserve to sit down and watch Serena and read about Miss Megan if you have not done anything with your life. You're not reaching your goals. I cannot emphasize that enough. I wrote a long time ago to young people. You work hard. You get something accomplished. Get your work done. And then you have big fun. It is a reward system. You should not be able to enjoy a football game and some hot wings or some hot cauliflower or whatever you like and a drink unless you have accomplished your goals. And your goal is not playing football. You don't have the talent to play football. God did not call you to play football. Your goal is something else. Get it done. Get the job done. Don't go and enjoy the Patriots playing, for their theme is do your job. That's why they're going to win the Super Bowl again this year. Do your job. We got too many people who want to enjoy everybody else doing what they're doing. When the game is over, they're filled with envy because they have not accomplished anything themselves that God has made them to do. They are so focused on what others are doing and the prosperity that others have, they forget to look around them at the opportunities that they have to get things done themselves, the privileges that they have, and count their blessings. Name them one by one. This is another reason why I got confused in the last sermon about this song, because I knew I was going to preach on it today and use it today in this sermon. But be that as it may, instead of recognizing the many blessings and opportunities and privileges that God has bestowed upon them, they become envious of other people. And that's what's going to happen to you. If you sit around and you watch others, and you look at others and you read about others, and you don't accomplish your God-given goals and opportunities and privileges that He gives you, you can't enjoy that. You're going to end up being envious of those same people that you watch. And you're going to have a sad, pitiful, negative, dark feeling on the inside after you get through watching them. And it's 9 o'clock at night, and you have not accomplished what God has called you to accomplish. But on the other hand, if you have worked your behind off all week, you have done your job. I'm not talking about just your job that you use to make income, but the real calling that God has on your life. And you have accomplished your goals towards that. That's the only reason why you should watch somebody else. And that's the only time you should. If you have not accomplished what you know you should accomplish, you're not to sit down and watch somebody else accomplish something, because you're not going to enjoy it. But if you have accomplished what you were supposed to accomplish, then you can enjoy them and what they're doing, because it is a reward. It's a blessing, and you can get inspiration from that. Be thankful for every continued breath you take, for it is a gift from God. But too many of us slip and fall into a spirit of jealousy and envy. They are envious of the media figures who make millions while saying foolish things, envious of the politicians who are paid with our tax dollars while seemingly not being held accountable for anything and not doing anything but lying and talking about nothing. And then they go to the pub and drink up our tax dollars. And envious also of Hollywood celebrities who live lives of debauchery and adultery and fornication while being applauded for their every move. Instead of being obsessed with following how God has blessed others, or in some cases how the wicked have procured false blessings by doing evil work, we should look at all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us and the opportunities and privileges that He's given to us. God does not love them any more than He loves us. We might be on a different track, and we might be engaged in warfare that they're not engaged in. But God wants us to do stuff with our lives, whether the whole world knows about it or not. God wants us to do it. From the air we breathe or the food we eat, we are constantly being blessed. In fact, not having wealth could very well be a blessing in disguise. And you may never know about it fully until you get on the other side. As to why God did not allow you to have the billions that others have. Could you handle the scrutiny? Could you handle that amount of money yourself and stay close to God? Probably not. Could you handle the scrutiny that celebrities and TV hosts face every day? That the pressure of fame? Probably not. Could you handle the stress of being a CEO who has to manage a multinational billion-dollar company and the fortunes of millions of people? Or being a politician who is responsible for 325 million Americans to keep them safe and may be held responsible for the citizens even of other countries and be responsible for killing some? Be thankful for the responsibilities, opportunities, and privileges and blessings that God has given to you, and you do what God has called you to do with all your might, and be content where God has you, and blossom and bloom where you are. So many of you, you're not content where you are. You will never get to where you want to go. If you're not doing your best now where you are, which you think is small potatoes, you're not going to get the big potatoes in the future. Because if God can't trust you with the little you have right now, He's not going to give you the bigger things in the future. And if you don't understand that principle, you'll never rise to where you should be or where you want to be. So, beloved, if you struggle with envy, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face this awful temptation. Now, Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote a long time ago. This is a song that I have taught my children, I taught my wife, and I have sung with them many, many times to always count their blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Let's all stand. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word that rebukes us, that challenges us, that speaks to our heart to confess our sins and to repent and to do the right thing and to not, in this case, be envious of others. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Forgive us of our sin of not being thankful and grateful for the privileges and the opportunities and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Forgive us of our sin of watching others, turning envious towards them and not doing what you have given us to do. I believe, Lord, with all of my heart, people can avoid envy by just being busy about and doing what you have wired them to do and called them to do. And they can get to the point, if they're saved, to the point of enjoying others and what they do as a point of reward. And so, Lord, help everybody to confess their sins, help everybody who is struggling with this to get off of social media, for it has gotten so bad, even the social media giants are cutting back on allowing people to do certain things because it drives the demonic spirit of envy and jealousy. And people are committing suicide over such foolishness, even in the church, striving to be something that they're not, mad because others are prospering and they're not. And Lord, even the wicked social media people are taking certain things down because it drives competition and envy and jealousy to try to save the lives of weak-minded people who are not pursuing their dreams, their vision, what you, God, have given to them, and are caught up in watching others, spectators, instead of doers. So Lord God in heaven, have mercy and grace on people, particularly in the church. Forgive everybody, Lord, of their sins in this area, and help people to repent and turn from their wicked, evil ways. And we pray, Lord, for those who are in the world who are caught up in this, even worse. Lord, help them to believe on Christ so that they can be set free, and only you can do it. All we can do is pray and present the gospel. Only you can divide this wickedness asunder and break it down and save people and set them free from this spirit of envy in their souls. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray that you would do it. Amen. You may be seated. And so, dear friend of mine, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's one of the reasons why you're eaten up with envy and jealousy. He is the only one who can set you free from that. Because that's a deep heart, spirit, soul, and mind issue. There's no psychologist, there's no counselor who can help you with that better than the Savior, Jesus Christ. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and thou you shalt be saved. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? What will you be saved from? Hell, eternal, burning, tormenting hell. What will you be saved to? A beautiful place called heaven or paradise. To be with God, who loves you. To be with Jesus, who loves you. To be with the people of God. To be with the Holy Spirit of God. To be with the angels of God. Forever. God gave Paul the privilege to rise to the third heaven, I believe, when he was stoned at Lystra. He actually died. He was the first one to go to heaven like that and then come back. And when he tried to speak about the beauty of heaven, he couldn't do so. He said he saw things unspeakable. He dared not even try to explain to people. That's how beautiful it's going to be. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Trust Christ as your Savior today. Get your eternal life insurance policy. You got your life insurance policy. You got your car insurance policy. You got your medical insurance policy. Get your eternal life insurance policy right now. It's free and signed in the blood of Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Pray and ask him to save your soul. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. I have led many down through the years, and somebody led me, and I'll be glad to lead you. Just bow your head right where you are. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to speak in some unknown tongue to get saved. You don't have to shout and run around the church or give money to the church to be saved. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that He took your place. He paid your sin debt. He suffered, He bled, and He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on that third day, early one Sunday morning. And all you have to do is believe in your heart on Him and pray and ask Him to save you. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have stolen things before. I have lusted in my heart and coveted in my heart other people and other things. I have lied before. Lord, those are just five of your commandments that I have broken. I have broken many more. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me. Please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures, and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. I can easily say that because my faith is in God and in His Holy Word and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yours should be too. Not our feelings, not what we think, not what other people say, but the Holy Word of God, the Bible. So welcome to the beloved family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Christ as your Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, my article, my tract, whatever you want to call it, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.